Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Sans Pants Radio, Australia's most biased podcast network.
Welcome to How Good's Footy, a weekly AFL podcast where we ask the most important sporting question of all. I'm Carney.
I'm Tom.
And I'm Dusha.
Boys, how good's footy?
Look, trade week, trade 2 weeks, however fucking long it goes for. Sometimes it feels like an eternity. Sometimes it's over in the blink of a fucking eye. It's hard to keep track.
Sometimes the 2 week trade period is like, oh man, 2 weeks, nothing happens. And everyone's like, hey, what if we did all the trades in the last 15 minutes?
I would say, Tom,
trade period.
It wasn't even 15 minutes. It was the last six.
Holy shit.
Yeah. So, not a lot had happened, up until the final 15 minutes of, the trade period, and then everything happened. So, Tom, the hugest and most enormous news of this is that Jeremy Cameron now is a Geelong Cats footballer.
He is. We have now got in the same team the 2019 and the 2020 Coleman medalist, which is cooked.
Yeah, he can serve out his probation in Geelong.
Yeah, yeah. It's character building for him. He's around. Wait, another player who gets reported. Oh, no. Nah, it's character building for him, because if he tries to do anything, Chris Scott will just rewind back 10 years, 20 years, and just take him out.
Yeah.
He'll call up Brad. He's not doing anything.
Yeah. That, all of a sudden, he'll be like, is that Chris? Is that Chris? Oh, no. It's a Scott double. Bang.
And, yeah, so trade period, and this happens to me most times during the trade period, where, like, I'll pay attention a little bit at the start, and then I'll just, like, check every now and then, like, maybe once a day, and then it hits a point in trade period where things get so juicy that I'm, like, watching the live feed, I'm, like, refreshing Twitter, I'm searching fucking hashtags to see if anyone has got some juice that trade radio is not talking about yet. It's, like, basically I need, like, four screens in front of me for, like, the back end of trade period, and let me tell you, that last 15 minutes, I was fucking firing on all cylinders.
You know who else was firing? Mitch Cleary. He was a frazzled man.
He was literally reporting things coming in. Watching the live last 30 minutes of that trade period, they just come to him and he's like, I'm getting a text. It's not done. I'm getting another text. It is done.
And a lot of just like, kind of just like, he'd say something and the camera would linger on him and he'd just kind of like shake his head and be like, I don't know what's happening yet.
I like Mitch Cleary a lot. I got a lot of time for that man.
Yeah.
He's a good operator.
He was like, yeah, there was a lot of trade news coming in, like fucking tidal waves, and he was just fucking in over his head. But yeah, it was just so funny to see him like trying to hold a microphone and like look at his phone and be like, so I've just sent a text that said, is the Dunkley deal still on the table? Is it something that could possibly happen? I've just got a text back. It just says the word yes. I'm not sure what that means.
Yeah. But I think the best one was with like 30 seconds to go, or about a minute to go. They're like, have you got anything more, Mitch? And he's like, Jeremy Cameron's a cat. No official, nothing on any screens behind him. It's literally him just going to all of his sources.
Yeah.
And unlike Tom Brown, his sources, they come in. Yeah. They come.
Another highlight in the last... So these all happened in the last 10 minutes. Another highlight was right at the end. They're like, well, I guess Trelaw's not going anywhere. And then all of a sudden, Mitch is like, oh, wait. Trelaw's... I don't know how this has happened, but he's got to the dogs.
It was the most off its dick, I think.
And then they were like, Dunkley. And they're like, no, they've managed to get it done without Dunkley. And then Trade Radio was like, what has happened here? Like,
I tell you what, who... Is it Power? Is that who the list manager is for the Dogs?
Bulldogs.
Because he is...
Yeah.
He's
Lukey Power's brother.
There you go. So he's walked... Whoever he is, he's walked out of those trade meetings and his dick is swinging.
He's got two dicks now.
They came in. They didn't give up anyone. They got better picks and they landed the players that they need, which was a ruckman to protect English... And arguably one of the premium, like a gun midfielder to complement their already, wow.
They kept a player that was like a week ago was like, yeah, I don't want to play for you. And they're like, oh, yeah, right. Nah, you're staying. And he was like, yeah, all right, I'm staying. And they're like, ah, get in here.
And they did, and they've still got all the picks and points to get this Jet Next Academy kid. I'll tell you what, fucking hell, Bevan, what have Lockie you done Young, down there?
Boys, Lockie Young did leave. But
that's
I mean,
true.
In the context of what they brought in, they're laughing.
Oh, absolutely. It's
bizarre. Well, one thing with their picks is, Tom, so they had, I think it was like pick 14? Anyway,
they
Dogs had like a...
What they started with, I think they had like, didn't they have like pick 8 or 10 or something like that? Probably 10.
Anyway, they were like, that's too high. We'd prefer to split it up. And they did that too.
Well, they needed to because whatever, that's why they were reluctant to do the Dunkley one because say if Essendon gave them pick 6... That just gets swallowed up by the guy that's going to go pick one, who's in the academy or whatever it is.
So and I think they knew didn't want to take a good pick from Essendon to give to Collingwood because they're like, no, you want to get rid of Trelaw, we'll pay fuck all for him.
Oh, that's one of the reasons why like everything went to the final 30 seconds because everyone was doing deals with Collingwood and just waited it out because Collingwood was so desperate to clear money that people were like, oh, we'll fucking rob them.
Tom Phillips, pick 65.
Yeah,
he is 25 years old and a winger.
Yeah.
Fucking hell. That
Top
is.
That.
It was.
Hawthorne just. What the fuck?
There was a lot of. So we'll get into. I guess, look, there's one team that had the most eventful trade period in human history, I reckon, and it wasn't a positive experience.
No.
And that was the Collingwood Magpies. But we'll get to them. We'll just go through what happened with our clubs first, because we are nothing if not a biased show.
I can do Brisbane pretty quickly, boys.
They made a few questionable decisions this trade period. Not the most fucked, but a couple of weird ones.
Well, the positives are we brought in Joey Danaher, and I think all of the footy experts... who watched Brisbane in the finals were like, oh, they just needed a key forward. Just needed a key forward. Hipwood, McStay aren't good enough. So we got Joey Danaher, who, when he's up and firing, he's an All-Australian superstar.
Oh, absolutely. And next season will probably be his return to form.
Hopefully.
But here's the thing, out of the three of them now, one of them's going to get a third best defender.
Yeah, that's what I liked.
That's the good stuff.
That's going to be great. And, I mean, it'll either be McStay or Hipwood, because, you know, number one will go to Joey.
Oh.
Brisbane's got a really good medical team, probably for the last, probably since Fagan's been there. They've just been on fire. We haven't had as many injuries as we used to, and we've been able to like fix players like Link McCarthy, who could never get on the park. So they've got him, and they've also went with Tom's boy, Kaya Cockatoo, who was a former top 10 draft pick.
Yep.
He's a Jet. He is a gun. If they can get him up and running, maybe. You know how I was like, Brisbane need one more midfielder. He could be the guy, I guess, if they get him up and running.
The thing about Cockatoo that it breaks my heart to lose him, but I'm glad he's going to a club that I respect and like and that he can bring a good friend of mine joy if he gets on the park. You can play Cockatoo at half forward. You can play him across half back. You can play him on the wing. You can play him on the ball. He's very versatile if he can get up and going.
Well, it's nice to know that I guess Essendon and Geelong both listen to this show and they've been like, look, we've got to help our friend Sean get a flag next year. We'll just give him a couple of players. They'll be right.
Actually, I hadn't thought of it like that. The two big moves we brought in are both from your clubs.
Yeah.
So it's just friends helping friends.
Yeah,
it's just friends helping friends.
It's good for footy. That's why I kind of, a part of me wishes that Witho had gone to Essendon or Geelong.
Yeah.
Sad to see him go. We talked about that at length last week. And then Brisbane did like another weird thing at the end where they traded both their first round picks. So I think Brisbane had 18 and 19 for this draft.
Yeah.
Traded them to Melbourne in like a weird deal. And basically we get Melbourne's first pick next year. So Brisbane are hoping that Melbourne is shithouse again.
Which, it is pretty funny to bet on the fact that Melbourne are going to suck.
but I think it's also a case of the Brisbane have their eye on next year's draftees because they're like, this year's too compromised.
Yeah, I think that's it. There's a lot of academy stuff and also the fact that any Victorian player didn't really play a proper season. So I think the consensus is that next year's draft is stronger. So Brisbane have banked a few picks. Also, we've got an academy guy who's probably this year going to go at like pick 40-ish. So I think Brisbane were happy to just move back in the order and just grab him. Because the only other option was to package those two together and move up into the top 10 this year perhaps. But whatever. I don't think they were really into it. That probably tells you that there wasn't a player that they wanted badly enough in the top group. So they were just like, fuck it.
They went in with a checklist and it was if they can get Cockatoo and they wanted Danaher. Danaher was the only name on their list. They got him in the first 5 seconds of the trade period going.
Yeah.
So really, they could relax.
So yeah, I'm happy with what they did. I'm sad to lose Witho, but I trust Fagan and we'll see what happens. Tom.
Yes.
How do you feel about Geelong?
I feel like I'm pretty happy, to be completely honest. The Giants were difficult about it, but I think in reflection, we didn't lose anyone that I wasn't expecting to lose in Cockatoo. And Fogarty is a gun and I like him a lot. But I understand his desire to leave, considering he's probably there's probably about five or six players that he's in that same category as, and not through any fault of his own, but just through some injuries in the last two seasons, he's fallen behind, say, Simpson, Myers, Parfitt, Atkins, and Clark, who's chosen to stay. So he's kind of fallen just off the radar a little bit there. We didn't lose Parfitt or Radigalia to the Giants, which I'm pretty excited about, because this is the thing, like, people are like, oh, you know, you got to get Radigalia to develop a bit quicker. He's 20. Like, he's not an older player. Tom Hawkins didn't come good till 2011, and he'd been in the system 5 or 6 years. So,
yeah,
I think Radigalia will be a good player. I think it means he can probably focus on being a ruck.
Yeah.
I think that's where his strength is. But, I mean, we got the two players we set out to get in Higgins and Cameron. We gave up 3 first-round picks for Cameron.
Which is apparently a record trade.
It's never happened before. No one's ever given up 3 first rounders for a player. But I guess in a compromised draft, there's 2 things that I find fascinating about this. So in the lead up to the final deadline day of Cameron going through, you had David King, a so-called expert, being like, Geelong have got to give up 3 first rounders for Cameron. That's just what they've got to do.
Yep.
And then when Geelong did it, he was like, I can't believe they've given up 3 first rounders for Cameron. That might have cooked their future next year.
No. Yeah, it's like, he's a
David
dickhead.
King, what are you talking about? We're being blasted for not doing it, and then when we did it, we're being criticised. I think the thing is, Geelong knows that we've got an older list. Our window is now, and we brought in players that reflect that.
Yeah.
Cameron also is, 26, 27. It makes me feel better about what happens when Hawkins eventually finishes up in 2 years' time, because there was a gap there. It's like Hawkins is playing well, but he's got maybe 1, maybe 2 years tops. And then we have a bit of a void.
Yeah.
Cameron comes in now and you know, he'll be 29, 30. It kind of settles a bit. Higgins will, I guess, fill that hole that Ablett just left, that half-forward role. And Smith brings a bit of speed, which I'm interested to see how that plays out, considering we've still got Menegola there, and there was word floating around that he might be looking to leave. So maybe they've got Smith. I don't know.
Tom. There's 2 wing spots.
Well, yes, but Duncan's got the other one.
Don't care. Move him in the middle.
All right, then.
No, because you know how often, I think you've talked about this, Tom, how often Blitzarves goes to the wing as well. That's now you don't have to do that. Blitzarves can be the All-Australian fullback.
He can be the All-Australian fullback. Fuck, Sean, this is, you know what? Yeah. I'm even happier about my trade period than I was 5 seconds ago.
Look, I'm really happy for you too, Tom. I just want to share with the audience something that you did after this trade, though, and it really, really, really highlights why sometimes we get a bit annoyed at the Geelong arrogance. Because I'm glad that Jeremy Cameron is going to Geelong. That's good. But in celebrating, like, the trade period ended and you were like, Geelong have had a ripper trade period. Jeremy Cameron's going to kick 100 goals or whatever. That's fine. But then you're like, and we got him for a steal. Shut up, Tom. You can't fucking celebrate that. Not only did you, it's a technique I've seen by someone that is globally despised, because you're like, we got the best team, and we got it for the cheapest, and we've just fucking killed it.
I won the election, boys.
Yeah. So, just settle down a bit, all right? You gave away 3 first-round picks.
But this is the other point I wanted to make.
I'm with Tom. Tom on this one.
The 3 first-rounders isn't a steal.
People wax on about first-rounders. How many first-rounders actually work out?
That's true.
So Geelong's last first-round pick
was Cockatoo.
Mekhi Cockatoo. And the one before that was Joel Selwood. We haven't had a top 15, 12 pick for years.
Yeah, but Sean, surely when your team's average age is now 30, you'd probably want to
hold on to it. Window, mate. That's what we're going for.
Yeah, Joel, I've come around to the. Right, I know what Geelong are doing. Geelong's list management strategy now is never. Every single year top up to stay in the window. They try to keep the window open every single year.
Yep.
Eventually, it's going to run out of steam. But when you've got the chance, I don't know, would you rather win a flag next year or like go back and pick 3 young kids?
This is what I mean. If we won a flag next year and then we bottomed out in a couple of years, no one can take away that flag from me.
That's true. Yep. I guess that's a better than like a gamble of potentially winning like a 3-peat in 10 years.
Yes. Also, Tom, I'll point this out. If, for instance, you'd done the same deal but for the Bont, I wouldn't be as on board. It's because you've targeted a specific...
Yep.
Need in the list.
Yeah.
Correct.
And I think Geelong are doing it. I think that's what Brisbane have done. Brisbane just sort of target it and go, all right, we'll just whatever it takes to get it done, just get it done.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. And I think that the reason when I say a steal, I don't necessarily mean that we paid unders or anything like that, but the Giants were dead set that we had to give them a player and we didn't. And that's the thing that I was really happy about. I was worried that there'd be a weird thing where we'd panic and give De Koning or someone like that away who's these developing younger players. And it just shows that the Giants, I think, didn't do as well as people are like, oh, but they got 3 picks out of Geelong. It's like, yeah, but they didn't get what they really wanted, which was established talent. So we held firm because I think Geelong are a good team. And well said, you know, we will do to give the Giants a better deal than what they would have got from the AFL. That's the plan. But look, I'm happy. We've come out doing better. And look, we didn't do a fire sale and get rid of our best players. So that's also good.
That is good. And
the Bombers, Joel.
Yeah, so we had kind of a... it was kind of like a middle trade period because there were 3 players that were considered... Well, they were definitely in our best 22 when they're fit. All decided they didn't want to go. They wanted to go. They had their eyes on other clubs. And that was stressful for me because, one, there was all those rumours about everyone's leaving Essendon and the culture's fucked and everything's fucked and... Everyone hates playing there, and everyone hates Truck, and everyone hates each other. But this trade period kind of showed that I guess maybe it was just those 3 players, because we managed to get players in, which is something that doesn't happen when your club culture is really fucked. And yeah, we got rid of the 3 players that that didn't want to play there anymore, but we got like decent deals for them.
Yeah.
So Joe Danaher, obviously, was a restricted... He was a free agent, so we got the... top up for it, so that wasn't like a trade. But yeah, like Saad went to Carlton, we got pick 8.
Yep.
And Orazio went to Port Adelaide and we got a pick that was very well suited for whatever he got. It was like 26 or something.
I think in late 20s for him. But Joel, you've walked out of the trade period with picks 6, 7, and 8.
Yes. And Tom. So 6, 7, and 8, and we're the first non-expansion club to do that since Hawthorn in 2005.
Yep. Hey, Joel.
Or 2004.
Do you want to know the 3 players they brought in with their picks 6, 7, and 8?
Yeah.
Or 5, 6, and 7 or whatever it was. Whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Buddy Franklin.
Yep.
Roughhead.
Yep.
Jordan Lewis.
So, Tom, I've heard a lot about those three players before.
That's because they got heaps of flags.
Yeah. Well, that is good news, and it means that Essendon can, like, hopefully recruit some players, some younger players to fill some of the problems that we're having. But also, the players we picked up in the trade are suitable-ish replacements for the players we lost. So, first off the bat, and the one that's probably the most exciting, well, actually, before I get into this one player in particular, the three people we've picked up are going to be interesting, because they're the exact type of player that Essendon has a million of, which is, on paper, they're guns, and they have the potential to be superstars. But last year, none of them showed that potential.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if it works out, it's going to work out in a big way. If it doesn't work out, people will be like, well, you didn't pay that much for the players, so that's all right, but could be another rough year. So, straight off the bat, we lost one tall forward in Joe Danaher, but we gained an even taller forward in Peter Wright, or 2 Meter Peter.
I love him.
What a name.
I love him so much.
Do you reckon his parents, when he was born, looked at him and were like, he's going to be 2 meters tall. Better call him something that rhymes with meter, so he has the greatest nickname of all time.
2 Meter Peter. I might start calling him 2 Meat Pete.
Ooh. Oh, man, that's good. You know what you could call him just to really fuck with the whole thing? You could go like, this is my good friend 200 Centimeter Peter.
That's a black tie event type
yeah,
name.
Yeah, that's it.
That's when he wins the Brownlow.
And the winner of the 2021 Brownlow is 200 Centimeter Peter.
So, interesting. So, this is probably gives you a good insight to 2 Meter Peter and his abilities. So, 3 years ago, when rated by Champion Data, he was ranked the best 20-year-old in the competition, and that was ahead of Jeremy Cameron, Taylor Walker, and Jesse Hogan when they were the same age, which is crazy.
Jesus.
So he couldn't get a game for the Suns last year, though, so that is concerning. But the Suns had a bunch of problems, and their forward line wasn't really one of them. Yep. So, like, Sexton, for instance, was all systems go all season.
But, well, they had King fit and Day fit for the first time.
It's King and Day. And then literally Peter Wright was the next. Like, some people have looked at it and gone, it's weird that Gold Coast did it, because if Day or King get injured,
they're fucked.
Wright would be the guy that comes in. So they've kind of cooked that. He was on a lot of money, I think, is one other factor. They wanted to get rid of that off the salary cap.
I feel like that. I can't remember if this was just a rumor or if it's actually happening, but I think they're still playing some of his
They are, contract. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit, yep.
Yeah, that's good.
He's on like 500, I'm pretty sure.
That's all right.
That's
good
money.
It's what Gold Coast have to do to keep the kids, basically.
Yeah.
It's why they weren't more aggressive in, like, you know, going for Treloar and some other big-name players, because they're kind of like at capacity.
Yeah, and unlike some other clubs that are at salary cap capacity, they foresee that if they offer people huge backloaded deals, in a couple of years, they're going to have to basically fold and be a national embarrassment.
Yep.
Do you know what, Joel? I think as well, so Peter's a nice slot to replace Danaher. He's untried. We don't know how he'll be, etc. But also, Truckers had a bit of time to look at this list, and I think he's like, right, if people don't want to be here under me, get them out the door.
Yeah.
And I'm going to try to just get in. It feels like he's doing a truck reset at Essendon. Because it's like, yep, Warsfold did that, and they've gone through the ringer and they've had a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
The truck is here and he's keep on trucking. That's how he's going to run this footy club.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think you've done all right. I think you've done actually better than it on paper it looks like, oh, they didn't get Dunkley.
Yeah.
And they lost all these players, but I think Dunkley for where was, they were, where you guys finished on the ladder this year, I think you've got a net gain for next year, surely.
And, like, if these players that we just got stay fit for the whole season, we're in a significantly better spot than we were last year. Because, like 2 Meter Peter struggled to get a game, but it's not because his legs didn't work.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you got to think, too, for someone like Orazio, right?
Yeah.
If you're injured, you don't want to get fit for a team you don't like.
Yeah.
This is a good point, boys, because I think the media are looking at it and they've looked at the three players that have gone out and they've gone, it's a bit of a disaster for Essendon.
Yeah.
But only Saad was actually playing games.
Yeah.
So basically, it's kind of like, because these guys you've picked up, I think you've got Nick Hind, Caldwell, and 200-centimeter Peter.
Yeah.
So it's basically the three of them in for Saad. And on top of that, pick 6, 7, and 8. So I think it's a win. I think it's a big win. Not like, it's not a massive win.
But yeah.
From how diabolical it could have been.
Yeah, yeah.
They've done a great job.
Yeah. So what it was looking like on your best and fairest night when we were talking about potentially Essendon having no one but Jake Stringer.
Yeah. And, like, you got, like, stuff like there was talks that, like, Phillips was going to be traded. And, like, Essendon didn't even really mention that in the end.
Yeah.
Like,
and also, Joel, you'll get Dunkley next year.
Well, Tom, we'll get to this in a second, but maybe I won't need to wait till next year.
I reckon you'll get Majak Dor as well.
Yeah, we've got an inside source about that. A whiteboard with Majak Dor written on it.
Oh, Irving, you've given the world the scoop of the century.
Joel, it would have been perfect if you'd finished it with Dunkley. I actually think that's a mistake by the Bulldogs, because you've got a guy, Dunkley wants to leave because he's not getting midfield minutes, and they bring in another Treloar, who's ahead of him already. It's not going to work out. And think about it. Dunkley's value is never going to be better than what it was this trade period.
Well, that's another thing. If they play him less in the midfield this year, his trade value is going to plummet and he's going to be unhappy the whole year. So he'll still want to leave.
And they'll have to get rid of him.
The only risk for me, I guess, is that, like, Dunkley's, like, a little sour on Essendon for not getting it done as well. Like, he's angry at the Bulldogs, but also a bit like, fucking Bombers, why didn't you offer? But,
They wanted like 7 and 8, which I just don't. I think you can't do that for Dunkley.
No.
For a guy who's not even in the starting midfield of his current team, even though the Bulldogs' midfield is very deep. And
it's probably one of the best. He's a gun, too. He's not the best on paper.
I think it is, too. But the Bulldogs' problems still remain in the forward line and the back line, I reckon.
Yeah.
I've got a point that I want to make, though, where it feels like recruiting Treloar means that you can actually use Bon up forward a bit more.
Whatever.
Yeah, you want to do the Dangerfield thing with him.
Tom, and when people say stuff like that to me, I want to kill them.
Okay. Yeah.
He's one of the best players in the comp, one of the best midfielders in the comp. He's not a forward.
He's the kind of guy,
he is the Dangerfield in that, like, he'll play a shit team and maybe kick 3 or 4, and you'll go, oh, geez, if he could play forward, leave them in the middle. Same with Dangerfield.
That's the best thing about having Cameron is Danger won't go forward nearly as much.
Yeah.
He'll rest forward.
Maybe he still will. I don't know what cooked decisions Geelong will fucking make.
We're going to play blitz halves in the
You got the best list. So Chris Scott's got to do something to make sure you don't win the premiership.
hire Brad to impersonate him.
10-year anniversary of last time he won a flag by walking into a winning team, and he'll be like, fuck, I don't want to accidentally do that again.
What would be hilarious is if he won a flag with a team he just brought in through a trade.
Yeah.
So again.
So the other two players that Essendon picked up, we just mentioned before, were Caldwell and Hind.
Yep.
Again, two players that are like, have big potential. It's funny, Hind is actually the type of player we were talking about last time we were talking about Essendon, because he's like 26.
He's a big money ball.
Yeah, he's not worth a lot of money. He was a gun halfback at VFL level, but then Saints played him forward. But I reckon we'll probably play him back again.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I tell you what I like about this is, and in particular, I just feel that the entire
Caldwell
last
will be in a Ratio.
Yeah, and I feel like the last 20 except minutes... Fish. Well, no, actually, Caldwell's a mid. Caldwell's an inside mid. So you can move him up on the ball. The last 15 minutes, and particularly the way Essendon traded late, big money ball vibes. I was just waiting to see Jonah Hill in the behind Mitch Cleary on the phone just doing that fist pump.
Yep.
it was all happening. It was all. You could just tell that Dodoro before the last day of the trade period, Dodoro fired up Moneyball and went, all right, I'm Billy Bean, let's go.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing with Dodoro. Like, I was so angry at him this year just because I was scared of what was about to happen. But he was reasonable this year. A ratio is the only thing that he wasn't reasonable with. But then, like, we ended up trading anyway. Like, he didn't try any of this, oh, maybe if we just trap them at the club, they'll love to play here next year. Shit. Which he's done before.
Maybe he did. Maybe he did, and Truck just pulled him aside and was like, do you want to be hit by a truck?
What a threat. Hi, I'm Truck. Do you want to get hit by a truck? Clever.
It's good.
Look, I'm pretty happy with how this turned out. It's exciting to have another forward that has a dumb nickname that I will just fucking get around. Orazio was number 13 for Essendon, 13 being my favourite number. So one of these players might end up with 13 on their back, and I just really hope that they have a massive year so I can be like, all right.
What numbers are available for Joey and Nakia, Sean?
Oh, fuck. I can't even think what Witherden was. In my head, he's 23, but that could be wrong.
Isn't it?
No, Charlie Cameron's
23.
See, I don't even know what Witho is. I don't know, he's mate. They can have whatever they want.
So we've got a couple that have come free. The one that's interesting is the number 5 is now available.
Ooh. Oh, yeah.
Witherden was 29.
Oh, okay, 29, yeah.
That's close to 23.
I think Joey would want a low number.
Yeah. What was Steph Martin?
12, I think.
Oh, that's doable. You give him the 12. Now, we've got the 4, which I think... the 4, the 7,
oh,
the 13, and the 5 available at Geelong.
The most important number in the history of Brisbane has become available.
Oh!
16.
Number 3.
Oh,
Vossi's number.
Imagine Joey gets Vossi's number, kicks 100 goals.
If Joey,
imagine Sean.
Look,
Sean.
Look,
I'd like to paint a scenario.
I'm getting number
round
3.
One,
I'm getting
Joey's
number
3.
I'm going online right now and I'm buying it.
Joey comes out in the number 3, and there's another addition that he's got on his right hand.
Glove and a mustache. Imagine seeing a gloved hand twirling in the air.
Oh my god. Imagine his first kick for Brisbane.
That's
is a goal on the run from 55.
Well, the thing is, with Joey,
and you know what? There is every chance it could be.
Yeah.
Well, Sean, with Joey, it might be 65.
Oh, fuck.
Man.
Fucking hell. Yeah, number 3 is available. Number 12 is available. Number 29 is available. I reckon Cockatoo will go 12 and Joey will go 3.
Oh.
Yeah. Or Cockatoo 3,
I
don't know.
I reckon,
maybe they'll hold on to 3, I don't know. Who knows? Anything could happen.
I reckon they'll offer Cameron 5 at Geelong.
Really?
Yeah, fair enough.
I reckon.
That is juicy.
I reckon Higgins will get the 4, because he was 4 at the line, at the North Melbourne, I'm pretty sure. Yeah. I don't know what Smith was. I think he was 16, maybe? Which I don't think is available.
Yeah, you should maybe for Isaac Smith, don't worry about numbers, just get TC on his back.
You know what? That actually, he would get turbo powered if he had TC on his. If he rolls up for round 1 and he's got TC on his back.
All right,
man, I'm looking forward to Easter Monday. That's all I'm saying, boys.
I want Peter Wright to get just the number 200 on his back.
Boys, Tom Bell Chambers retired. He could get the number 2. The 2 meter Peter could have the 2 on his back.
I reckon that's going to happen. That's a deal.
That'd be huge. That'd be so huge. Fuck.
If they fuck it up and give it to someone else.
Oh.
Can we talk about one more club's trade period?
Yeah, we teased it at the start of the episode, and we've mentioned it a little bit since then. But so most trade periods, like, you might come out like a little, you'd be like a little bummed or like pretty happy or stoked. It's rare for a team to go into the trade period and just like not shit their pants once. Not shit their pants twice, but spend 2 weeks just doing constant shits in their pants. But this year, we were blessed with a War on Collingwood miracle, as their fucking had the worst trade period I have ever seen. Not even just in AFL. This is like,
it is
the worst trade period full stop.
Their list manager, Ned Guy, I reckon he shit his pants at the start of the year and just like... stayed away from people so no one would smell it, and he just panicked. He's got the real vibe of a guy who knows that he fucked up ages ago and just like didn't want to tell anybody. He thought he could fix it.
It absolutely, he feels like a guy that has done some home improvement renovations that didn't work too well, and then has just pretended that nothing had happened, and then 3 years later there's a massive leak in the backyard and he's trying to tell his wife that it wasn't him. Oh, no, that's just how it's always been. Yeah, no, I didn't see that when I was... He's got big George Costanza vibes,
yes,
that guy.
That's
he just looks
one.
Like a man who's constantly fucking up. And imagine going into a trade period, right, and coming out of it in a worse position and it's your fault. So sometimes clubs go into a trade period, they lose players, but it's not their fault. The players just want to leave and they end up probably in a slightly worse position. Collingwood actively went about making themselves worse. They could have got... They're like, oh, we strengthened their draft hand. With fucking what? Pick 20?
Yeah,
You didn't trade up into the top 10. You're still back in the bottom half of the first round. You let Tom Phillips go for pick 65. You sent... like, to this day, to highlight it though, not only do they just fuck up and it's ridiculous, but they've all like... The mixed messaging from the club is insane.
So... Let's just, before we get into the messaging, because the messaging is so funny, and there's a 10-minute interview with Ned Guy by the trade radio guys the day that the trades close, and they're, like, angry at him for how dog shit the trade period was for Collingwood, and he just gives them the dumbest answers. But basically, Collingwood went into the trade period, and, like, their fans were like, oh, they're either stuck up on talent, or, like, maybe get a few draft picks, or, like, maybe do both, which is the dream, obviously. Collingwood instead traded out Treloar, Jaden Stevenson, Tom Phillips.
And a young guy named Atu, Bozanavalagi.
Yeah, that's right. And they didn't pick up any trade picks higher than number 14, despite the fact some of these players being rated as some of the best players in the league. Like, Stevenson won the Rising Star, what, 2 years ago?
Stevenson won the Rising Star in the year they made a grand final. And
yeah, kicked 38 goals.
Like,
and then last year had kicked less. I think he kicked 20 something goals, but also had the betting scandal thing where he got suspended for 10 games or whatever. Yeah. And then this year struggled with hub life.
There is no doubt in my mind that Jaden Stevenson is a dumb cunt off the field. Like,
yeah.
And that's fine. Some AFL players are just fucking idiots. Jaden Stevenson is one of them. He's had multiple things off the field where you're just like, why did you do that? Like, weighing in on things where, one, he has no idea what he's talking about, and two, just shut the fuck up, Jaden. But yeah, it doesn't change the fact that he was a very good footballer, and still is. He's just not going to be a good footballer for Collingwood anymore because they traded him for fuck all.
What I think is possibly... The worst part about this trade period, boys, is that this entire section of the trade, particularly the Stevenson and Treloar deals,
yeah,
just reflect, I think, Collingwood's shithouse moral character. They don't have one. They are the culture. Trash. Mm. Their culture is dog shit.
Yeah,
it shows. Disgrace. It is a reflection of who they are in that you've got a kid, so a young guy who's 20.
Yeah.
He had a brilliant first year. A bit of a hit and miss second year where there's a bit of controversy. And then this year, it's clear he wasn't handling hub life well. And there's a lot of players who are in that boat. What you do is, so this is, you know, your crossroad point. And Collingwood said, oh, you know, we spoke to him a lot. They also, Collingwood sacked their psychologist at some point during this year.
Oh, yeah, classic.
So they're talking about how if a good club, if you've got a young player who's a talented player, but is a bit flaky and can't get around it and does... dumb fuckhead things off the field from time to time. Not bad things, just make some stupid choices.
Yeah.
As a club, you would get around that player and be like, right, we're going to support you. This is how we're going to help you get back to love and footy again. It might be that you play in the reserves for a little bit. We might pair you up with another player who's here, but we're going to get you back. Same with Treloar, who is a player who has openly talked about his battles with mental health and his anxiety, who has... his partner has successfully become a brilliant netballer and is now moving north. And he said, well, she's moving north. I want to stay at this club and help this club win a flag. Can you support me and provide the support that I need so that I can do the best that I can while I'm basically living away from my partner?
We can't do that.
No.
Yeah.
Sorry. Too fucking hard. Collingwood's official line is that from Ned Guy, this is the only consistent message they're getting from the mixed messages out of the club. From the CEO, from Ned Guy, and from Buckley himself, the three of them have all said, well, look, we probably weren't going to consider trading Treloar until his partner, Kim, decided, like she can't have any agency herself. Fuck off. She's a professional athlete too. They're both adults. They're both prepared to try to make it work. And the club went, nah, too hard.
Yeah.
Too hard. Yeah. We would rather we need to spend all of our time and energy supporting someone charged with sexual assault than actually supporting a decent bloke who wants to play for our club. Make no mistake, the other bloke who they're preparing to pay $2 million a year for is going to fuck off the first chance he gets if you get more money.
You can take that to the bank. He's gone. He will be.
Dugo is not a lifelong Collingwood player. Treloar would have played Collingwood until he died. And I kicked him out because it was too hard. Buckley, fuck off. Get in the bin. Eddie, get in the bin. Eddie hasn't said a word this entire trade period. The leadership and the culture at Collingwood is garbage.
It has been, but Eddie has no credibility. Like, he shouldn't have already. But the next time another club makes a mistake and Eddie gets out in the media and starts talking shit about that club, everyone should come after him and say, shut up, cunt, because for the last 2 weeks, you've said nothing. You're a piece of shit.
I think that has already kind of happened this year. Like, there's been times where Eddie's come out and said dumb shit that, like, usually everyone would just fucking gobble up. But everyone's just been like, shut the fuck up, you stupid old cunt.
Yep.
Either just fuck off.
Hey, just on the Stevenson one, so he had a pretty good interview on Trade Radio as well after he got moved on, where he was basically like, yeah, I didn't, like, hear anything. And then I heard rumors, so I called Nathan Buckley, the coach, and he was like, yeah, you should try and find another team. And everyone was kind of like, that is such a, wow, that's a really fucked thing to happen to a young player.
Yeah.
And then Collingwood have dismissed it. And I heard the CEO of Collingwood being interviewed today. And he was like, oh, no, you know, Jaden was aware all throughout the year, you know, he knew where he was at. He kept saying that. And then the interviewer kept pressing him and being like, yeah, but did he know about the trade? And the guy kept dodging that and be like, he knew where he was at. And they go, yeah, but did he specifically know that you wanted to trade him? And then the CEO said, I couldn't believe this. He just went, oh, well, as the CEO, I'm not in on the specifics of these things. So I don't know. I can't answer that. And they're like, what the fuck?
Because the answer is, no, he wasn't. But we're trying to save face. It's the Collingwood fucked up years ago when they've signed multiple players to huge deals.
Yes.
Which is par for the course. Yep. They've done it multiple times. Mm. And yes, not everything works. Sometimes you make a mistake. Dane Beams comes back. He wasn't ready to come back. And that's okay. you just write that one off.
Fuck me. He's still got 2 years to run.
It's just insane. Like, Treloar.
You go, Tom.
Yeah. No, all I was going to say was it's not even about the losing the talent. Like, if you're a supporter of Collingwood, you should be angry because it's infuriating to watch these players leave. But it's the manner in which they did it, and then the excuses they're now giving. The consistent messaging is that no one at the club knows what any other part of the club is doing. That it seems that Buckley calls the shots, and if Buckley wants it, then Buckley gets it. But then also that the idea that they weren't prepared to support a player who said, I want to stay here and I need your support to do so. I tell you what, if there wasn't a war on Collingwood already, this would fucking make me want to start.
Side by side, we stick together. That's their song.
We don't.
It's a disgrace. I think their culture is in the bin. I think it probably has been for quite a long time. And honestly, a lot of people have hated or not, like, kind of disliked Nathan Buckley for a long time. And then the year they made the grand final, he had that sort of resurgence. It was around that time when Tom was trying to convince our listeners to vote for Collingwood in the grand final.
And I was overseas. I was off fighting in the trenches, and I come back and I find that Tom's been stabbing me in the back this whole time.
Because he got caught up. He got caught up in the romance of it all. But this trade period
romance, boys.
Has very much sort of shown what Buckley's all about, I think. I think he tries to create that perception that he's, you know,
an everyman.
He's an everyman. He's a friend of all the players. But it's like, no, you're an arsehole, man. Like, you're just a piece of shit.
The thing that I find very interesting is that you look at clubs where players are leaving. Like, they're interviewing some of the Geelong players about the players who are going, and I'm pretty sure Selwood and a few of the other boys were talking about, oh, we loved having Cockatoo around. It's going to be really, you know, but we're happy to see him, you know, to get better. And a few of the guys were talking about Fogarty and things like that. Pendlebury, nothing. Nothing.
Yeah, complete
zero
silence.
From the captain. And I get that it might not necessarily be his place, but you've got to give him something. And apparently, the other thing too that's fascinating is that Buckley. So Treloar, there was a journalist saying that he'd heard that Treloar was told by Buckley that the senior players wanted him out.
That was Sam
Buckley,
Edmund.
Yes, that's right. Yes, Sam Edmund. Buckley came out firing and was like, "That's a lie. You're a shit journalist." And everyone was like, "On your bucks." Treloar gets traded, and someone asked him on his first interview at the Bulldogs, was that true? And Treloar was like, yeah, he did. He told me that the players wanted me out, and I knew that was a lie. because yeah. I spoke to the players.
He yeah. said, Treloar said, in no uncertain terms, that I was told that yeah. by Buckley. And that thing you said, Tom, where Buckley called out the journalist, Sam Edmund, and he, you know, basically told him it was a disgrace and a lie and all of that.
Yeah.
Sam Edmund then got targeted by, like, a bunch of Collingwood people and, like, people just ripping into him for being, like, a shit cunt journalist and, yeah, you know, yeah. kill yourself and things like that. And at no point has Buckley come out and gone, oh, no, I got that wrong. In fact, today Buckley went had an interview where what Treloar said happened was brought up and Buckley said, oh, no, he's remembering it wrong. I didn't tell him that senior players wanted him out of the team. I told him that they weren't convinced that, you know, he was a good two-way runner. Like, he was defensive running and attacking running. And it's like, that's a completely different thing. And you're full of shit. You are yeah. so full of shit, like your club has been. No one should ever trust anything Collingwood say ever again. It's been a disgrace. Really, Ned Guy. Do you remember when Ned Guy was like, on trade radio, as the trade period ended, he said, oh, I think this whole thing about us having a salary cap issue has just been a bit of a blow-up. And then 3 days later, because of the pressure, yeah, beat up.
Yeah.
3 days later, now the club's like, oh, yeah, that was a salary cap pressure. Yeah. yeah. So whose fault is it? What a shit club.
I just want to quickly point out something that Ned Guy said in that trade radio interview that is so funny. Because, like, at the worst possible time, he tried to make a lighthearted joke. Yeah. And now he's constantly being quoted on that joke, which is they were like, well, with all of these players being traded out mid-contract and, like, when they were back-ended in their deals, should players at your club feel safe? Like, what are the risks of them being traded? And he's like, well, we can't trade anyone till next year. Like, he tried to just, like, be like, trade period's over, ha, ha, ha. But everyone's just being like, Collingwood threatening to trade more people next year. So good.
More players will get traded out next year. I
don't feel bad
it.
For him because he has, like, he's, like, Ned Guy looks like a nerd, but he looks like a real cunty nerd.
Yeah, he is.
What's again, like, the thing
kind
the thing
of
to
like
also
similar vibe. So we've spoken about Jonah Hill in this in Moneyball.
Yeah. Yep.
But Ned Guy gives off Jonah Hill in Wolf of Wall Street vibes.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, he's thirsty.
Ned Guy has watched Wolf of Wall Street and is one of those people that thinks it's an aspirational film that you should aspire to be Jordan Belfort, but you shouldn't be.
There'd be a lot of them.
And the other thing too, just to factor it, so this is the issue with Collingwood. They need a hard Adelaide-style reset, boys. This is that level of absurdity. Like, so Eddie Maguire at the start of this year was elected for a 3-year term as president unopposed. Yep. Unopposed.
Maybe step down. Next. In 3 years, I might run.
Get rid of Eddie. Get rid of Buckley. Because the problem is Buckley's the golden boy of Collingwood because he was when he was a player and now he's the coach. It's you can't
That's
do it.
So look weird what to because Vossi. If he was the golden boy.
What happened to Herd? You can't do that to your golden boys. Hmm. It kills them.
Well,
so,
I mean,
get Buckley out of there.
I agree with that, Tom. I think get rid of him. I think he's been afforded, because of his status as that at that footy club, he's been afforded more opportunity than he should have got. And yeah, I think that he's destroying what was already a shithouse culture.
They were a bee's dick away. So they won a premiership in 2010.
Yeah.
They made a grand final in 2011 and then fell off a cliff.
Yeah.
And they were a bee's dick away from a flag in 2018. And they've fallen off a cliff again. And there's not been that much. Yes, they've had injuries, sure. But the list turnover hasn't been that high. And they've brought in top talent.
Who was the... Was Malthouse still the coach in 2010?
Yep. He coached 10 and 11 was his last year.
Yep.
Buckley tweeted when the trade period ended that it was his toughest day in football. And on the one hand, I looked at it and I was like, mate, you've lost grand finals. Like, shut up. But also... He just made it about himself. Oh, yep. So hard for you, Nathan.
Yes. Yeah. Did you notice that tweet was all, I made the hard calls. It was really hard for me. What about the fact that you have a guy, like, don't make no mistake, the Bulldogs have thrown their arms around Treloar in the way that only a team like the Bulldogs can.
Yeah.
But there's those first few photos and those interviews with him. He's rattled. He's a rattled man.
He's devastated. Because like, that's the thing. And I don't know why, because Collingwood sucks, but he loved that club.
Yeah.
Like, and... Yep. Maybe more than any player that's there. He wanted to play out his career. And it's they're pathetic. As an organization, I despise them.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's going to look good for the Dogs because he's going to be a dog for life.
I hope he wins the Brown, though. I really do.
I would love it. If our teams couldn't win the flag, I'd love him to win the Brownlow, and then I'd love the Bulldogs to win a premiership because of Treloar. Like, the thing that you looked at the data and you went, empirically, He played he played the best in the finals. He got him into the grand final. He kicked the winning goal in the grand final, and they won a grand final on the back of Treloar. And Collingwood did nothing, and De Goey went to jail.
I hope that when Eddie. Collingwood plays the Dogs in 2021, that somehow the Dogs manage to sneak a few trades in mid-game. So, as the game ends, Collingwood only have 19 players, but they've picked up, picks 61 and 65. Worth fuck all.
And meanwhile, Darcy Moore and Brody Grundy are walking off in Bulldogs jumpers.
Yeah.
You know what'll be interesting, and I think it'll be the first time ever for a Collingwood game, that a player who has left their club won't be booed by their supporters.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't think they'll boo him. I think they know that the club fucked him. He was a very, loved player.
There's a lot of Collingwood supporters
I hope they cheer him.
Losing, who are angry on Twitter publicly, and they are the most diehard supporters you can imagine.
I listen to them calling into the radio all day, and they're bloody frothing. They hate it. A lot of them are saying it's the angriest they've ever been with the club. And bear in mind that a lot of these people are older and have lived through Collingwood being pretty shithouse for a long time.
Yeah. Tony Shaw came out today and was just like, "You fucking cunts! You stupid fucking cunts!"
Oh, you made Uncle Tony angry.
Yeah.
Now, look, it's wild. Our team's tick. Collingwood being fucked on, tick.
Oh, it was a perfect trade period. I can't wait for them to miss the finals next year. Hopefully that's enough for Bucks to lose his job.
It's got to start at the top. I've got to get rid of the CEO and Eddie.
Yeah, I don't want to harp on it. We've probably talked enough about Collingwood, but even just the whole their company line of, we wanted to get in, we wanted to get some good picks in the draft. You didn't get good picks. You got 14 and 16 in a compromised draft. It's basically like having picks in the 20s.
Mm.
It's nothing.
And they're talking about how, we're actually looking to the future to recruit for the future. It's you traded out a 20-year-old gun. And Artu isn't an older player either. He's a young gun as well. So we traded out two young guns for no picks. Phillips is 25.
Yeah.
I think that their first round draft picks of the last, I think I heard this today, they've
every
traded
single draft
out their
pick.
Last five first round picks. Two for Beams, two for Treloar, and the other one was Stevenson.
Yeah.
So since 2013, they have basically every first round pick they've had since 2013 is now no longer at the club, either player or traded for a player.
Yeah. Buckley said one more thing today that annoyed me. he had a very well-rehearsed, he had a very soft interview with Jared on SEN where he just talked and talked and talked and said nothing. And Jared didn't probe him with any hard questions. It was really disappointing. But at the end of it, he was people outside our club might look at a Treloar leaving and think that it's a fabric of the club type heart and soul player leaving. But he basically said that that's not the feeling inside the club. Not that Treloar wasn't well liked or anything, but all the players they moved on, he said, they already know that they're very replaceable with players they already have, sort of thing. And it was just you've come on the radio to apologize to fans, basically, and not be a cunt, and then you've ended on such a cunty crash.
But here's the thing,
how disrespectful.
Right?
Shut up, man. Fuck.
One of the reasons they weren't playing well in the middle part of the year was because Treloar was injured. He came back in and they started winning games.
Yeah.
He was outstanding against... Treloar coming back meant that Taylor Adams was free to do what he wanted, which is why they started winning and was so good in... Fucking hell, that's insane. Anyway, I'm too angry. Joel, have we got any emails?
A lot can happen in 3 years. A chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare tri-term medical plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tom, we do. Got a couple. And Sean, we should brace ourselves because the first one comes straight for me and you.
Well, that's a nice change.
Yeah, I was rattled. So this one's from Randy. Depending on when slash if you read this, the last week or two weeks ago, Dusha and Carney were so far up Richmond's arse that from this point on, they should be referred to as Richmond sympathizers. At war, the enemy is always the enemy. I can imagine Dusha and Carney watching Wayne Carey dancing around on TV and being like, oh, actually, maybe he is an okay guy.
What a dumb cunt comment.
Yep. Great job, Tom, for not giving in to these silver forked tongue sympathizers. They almost got you. This is the war on Richmond. Always watch your back, especially the back of your head, because the next thing you know, some giant fuckwit's hand will be pushing it into the dirt, Randy. So,
look,
Randy, you've come after us for the war on Richmond, forgetting, I guess, very blindly, that Tom was the one that was like, Collingwood are actually a great club, and we've been misled by Joel Dusha because he barracks for Essendon, and we should actually not hate Collingwood. They're nice boys.
Yeah, I made a huge mistake, and I will have to live with that for the rest of my life. There is only one war. There are occasional skirmishes with Richmond, but there is only one war, boys.
The war with Richmond is not with Richmond. It's with fucking their cunt behind-the-scenes shit. The fact they dropped the VFLW team, but a lot of their players minus one big fuckhead.
Yeah.
I'll shake their hand.
Do you know what my mum would call that email? A
trash.
Fucking crock of shit.
Well, thank you,
Mama Carney.
Yeah, thank you, Mama Carney, for that review. And cop that, Randy. I guess when you're emailing in filth, you have to expect that kind of response. Finally, we've got another Richmond email. It's all yellow and black in our inbox tonight. But this one, little different. This one is, I would claim, a good email. Something that I probably wouldn't claim about the previous one.
Nor would my mum.
Yeah, nor would Mama Carney. A fucking crock of shit. She famously said that. This is from Pat. Good afternoon, football oracles. I'm just writing this email to vent over the continued lack of a Richmond VFLW team next season. Saw the news this morning that Essendon just received a massive grant to upgrade facilities at Tullamarine, including a dedicated AFLW facility, which is so fucking good. This has made me even more angry at the staggering decision for us to cut our VFLW team. We all know you have the money to pay for it. You're very famously out of debt and just won 3 premierships in 4 years. For fuck's sake, pay for the fucking team. Plus, it would be an investment into growth in support at Richmond, and considering how many games the AFLW team lost last year, it'd probably be really helpful to retain a VFLW team so they can train and play together all year round. They also compounded it by making the cowards move and advertising a partnership with Port Melbourne, who took the spot they gave up. What are they fucking doing? What makes it even worse is that clearly Brendan Gale and the club is ambitious. He made the absolutely huge call in 2010 about winning 3 premierships in 10 years and got laughed at by everyone in the industry, and then we fucking did it. So why not take the same attitude here? Jesus fucking Christ. I'll be going to as many Richmond AFLW games as possible, and hopefully if they see enough support, they'll pull their heads out of their asses and reinstate the team. Cheers, boys. Pat. So, a lot of Pat's email there reads like it's an email sent by me. So I just need to clarify that I am not a there's not 2 of me. And I'm not secretly a Richmond supporter. Because, yeah, it's a lot of Joel Dusha about that email. And
it's
like it.
Very douchery.
Mm.
Now, look, I like Pat's enthusiasm. I think attending AFLW games en masse to show your support for the club sends the wrong message, though. Because it's weird. Because it's like, it's tricky. Because you want to support your team.
Yeah.
But they've made such a shitty call that if you support their team, you're just rewarding the shitty call. Look, I don't have the answer for you. Go along. Maybe email them.
Sure.
Send them an email. Send them a letter being like, I support the club. I love the club. It still baffles me that you're not fielding a VFLW side when so many other clubs are.
I think a letter is good, Tom. I think it's a good idea.
Letter, send email, it. Get it done.
We should write a letter.
Supporters.
We should. We're famous for claiming to write letters.
It's true.
Oh, man, none of those. Boys,
we write a letter too?
Where are we going to write letters to Tim Kelly?
That's right. Is that behind your back, though?
We were going to send two letters to Tim Kelly.
I remember now. We were going to do one on the show, which was Please Stay. And then Joel, you and I were going to do one that was, one. Come on, mate, you've got to get out of there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But we didn't, Tom. We didn't send that secret second email.
Yeah, only because we were lazy.
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't because of a moralistic principle stance.
Pat's email goes on to include a pretty huge PS as well. So I don't know if you remember, but last week we put a call out for weird player stories off the field,
or
interactions with players. I played basketball with a good mate of Brandon Alice's. He came to our grand final, which we played against our most hated team, and the announcing team was ripping into us. Pretty sure Brandon Alice got kicked out for yelling at the announcers and supporting us. What a fucking legend.
That's very good, actually. That's some good work.
Just Brandon Alice having enough of it and standing up and being like, "Oi! You shut the fuck up!" And
they're like, "I've won a premiership." And if you want to escape, look, if anyone's got more stories like that, I'd love to hear them. Please, no more stories telling us that we should go easy on Collingwood or Richmond. Just, we choose our wars and we're setting them. So just, I get caught up in the bright lights of a fight. That's it. Yep. That's all it is. You know, I get sucked in.
Look, Dimmer sucks shit. The Richmond board sucks shit. The players, I don't know, at least 19 or 20 of the best 22 that I would happily hang out with. And one of them, of those 19 or 20, is on the field, yes, a rat-faced cunt. But off the field, gentleman. He's a rat-faced cunt that seems like a gentleman.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm.
The Look. Problem in that situation is probably me.
It is.
So
send us an email at howgoodsfooty@gmail.com, or you can find us on Twitter at howgoodsfooty, or individually, I'm at Orchard Reed.
I'm at Carney from 55.
And I am still banned from Twitter. happy 1 week. I don't think my account's coming back. And Trump, if you're listening, suck shit, cunt. I'll say it again.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.